Acts 2:38 through 41. You'll follow along with me as I read. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And I want to talk to you tonight about those last two words in verse number 40. If you look at that just for a moment, the Bible says, I'll read a couple words before that. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And we're going to talk about that for a little bit tonight. And let's pray and ask God's blessing on the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to glean something from the Word of God. Something that might save our family. Something that might save us. Something that might help us, encourage us, carry us through. Lord, I just thank you for this Word of God, this particular passage of the Word of God where a great miracle took place. And thank you for the great miracle that's taken place in our lives when we received you as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Many, many people here, as we just read, 3,000 people, about 3,000, so could have been more, and got saved that day and were added to the church. And this was a great, great message here, preached by Peter, and of course, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verse number 14, if you will, just for a moment, and we're just going to jump right into this. Peter is preaching, and he's preaching here, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And then Peter proceeds to give them a message of good news, a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a message of the saving power of Jesus Christ. He even speaks from the Old Testament. He speaks from Joel, the prophet Joel, and he even speaks from the writings of King David. And in verse number 37, the people who heard Peter preach, look what they said. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, and that is an interesting question, what shall we do? They just heard Peter preach a wonderful message, a powerful message, and they kind of looked at everybody around them. They looked at the other apostles. They looked at Peter and they said, Now what do we do? And that's where we started reading tonight. Peter said, Get saved, repent, be baptized, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the only one that can take away our sin. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to make sure you have that right front and center in your mind. I know you do, and in your heart. There is no preacher, pope, priest, anybody tonight, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but there's nobody. The Baptist preacher, he can't save and he can't cleanse you tonight. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And I'm so glad that that saving power is still available in the year 2005, just like it was back there in the book of Acts in the beginning of the church. And I'm so glad for these 3,000 that got saved, but I'm also glad for the one that gets saved when the gospel is preached and when the call of salvation is made and people follow that call. Well, Peter preached and saw great things happen. And now we come to the point of Scripture there. Peter is talking. He tells them what to do. And it shows us how many people came and got saved, and amen for that. And then in verse number 40, prior to the how many that actually got saved, Peter says to them there, as he was preaching, I want to exhort to you, I want to testify, I want to just, kind of say, if you'll just listen, and just be very still, he says, I want to warn you, and I want you to know that you need to save yourself from this untoward generation. What an interesting word Peter used there. He used this word to describe the condition of the people of the world at that time. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians 2 for just a moment, and we'll give some explanation. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. And let's see what Paul says here as well. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and, what's the next word? Perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. A definition for the word untoward is found there in Philippians. Perverse. Not easily guided or taught. Awkward and ungraceful. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a generation that's filled with untoward people. With people that are perverse, with people that don't want to be taught the truth, with people that are not easily guided. And that's what Peter said here as he stood up and he preached and he said, look, let me warn you. Let me admonish you. Let me exhort you. Let me testify to save yourself from this generation. Our focus must be to avoid this untoward generation. Oh boy. I forgot something tonight. Well, that's all right. When you see something in your notes that says read something and then it's not in your notes, panic stricken. I was going to read an article to you. Apparently God did not want me to read that article. That's just the way you have to look at it. And I'll save that for another time. All around us, there are perverse activities going on. Perverse ideas. And we need to flee from these ideas. I mean anti-God ideas, anti-Bible ideas, anti-home ideas. Peter said here, save yourself. Avoid it. Run away. In fact, if you can turn your back and run as fast as you can away from this idealism, he goes, do it. Get away from it. Preserve yourself from the influence, the opinions, and the fate of this generation. Let's look at the Bible. That's better than the article I could read anyway. Mark chapter 8. Let me show you another verse of Scripture. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Mark 8, 38. All right, let's read that. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, what are we supposed to do? It answers that question. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We need to be on the lookout, as Peter said, for this untoward generation, this perverse generation. And more as I live and as you live, many of you that have lived longer than me, you can probably look back to your 30s and 20s and teens, and now that you're of a mature age that you're at now, and you can see this untoward generation and how it's developed from those years all the way up until now, and it's become more perverse every year that goes by. More and more things will happen in the world, and you know, here's the sad thing. More and more things will happen in the world that are perverse, and we have become immune to them. I mean we as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we as born-again Baptist believers, we as believers, we as Bible-carrying men and women of God, young people. And the problem is we have become more and more immune to this perverseness that goes on around us. We hear about it and we say, wow, the world is really, it's really getting bad. And it goes in one ear, sits there for a second, and it's out the other ear just like that. We too live in a generation like Peter. In fact, a very untoward generation. The average age for a young boy to first have a sip of alcohol is 11 years old. I'm going to say some things tonight that I hope you will, with the Holy Spirit of God talking through me, that you'll allow these statistics. I'm not a big statistics guy. I just like to give the Word of God, but sometimes statistics are helpful to us realize what's going on around us. I'm talking, 10, are you 10? 10 years old. But the average beginning is 11 years old. For a girl, it's 13 years old tonight. Let me read an article that I did a little bit of reading on, and I wanted you to hear some of this. The title of the article is Teen Alcohol Use is a Primetime TV Staple, Study Finds. Alcohol is shown on primetime television programs far more than any other drink or food, and actors, including those portraying adolescents, are shown consuming alcohol on more than 40% of network shows. That's adolescents, folks, shown doing this. Hang on. The researcher and his colleagues analyzed the frequency, nature, and meanings of alcohol messages on 276 primetime television programs. This is not a message against alcohol, but if it is, then so be it. Television programs on the four largest networks during two consecutive weeks, a total of 224 hours of television viewing. So these people just sat in front of the TV for 224 hours. Overall, they found alcohol was consumed 555 times in the 224 hours of prime time, twice a program, and 2.5 times every hour. Non-alcoholic beverages such as sodas and coffee were the next most frequently portrayed food beverage, shown being consumed 415 times. Now here's a shocker, and I'm sure it's no different in Canada. Considering that the average U.S. household has the television set turned on for 7.2 hours a day, that's wrong right there. That shouldn't be in our homes. And that adolescents on average spend more time watching TV than attending school, what is shown on primetime television can have a powerful impact on its viewers. You don't say. I'm telling you, primetime television, I'm pretty much against it. And I'm pretty much thinking the Bible's against it, more importantly than Pastor Turner. Because how can you sit in front of those TV programs and believe me, if you're a Christian tonight, Jesus Christ is sitting by you when we're watching those programs. You see what's happened? The world has tricked us. We used to be able to sit down and watch a decent TV program. You know, Andy Griffith Show. Amen? There's dating yourself. You say, I used to grow up on Andy Griffith. Well, that kind of shows you your age. Amen. I grew up on it, but it was all reruns. All right? You know, we used to do that. And, you know, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with Andy Griffith, if you will, per se. But you know what it's done? It has programmed us that sitting in front of the TV is okay instead of reading the Bible. Sitting in front of the TV is okay instead of doing this or that or the other thing. And so as the programs have changed, we haven't said, I can't sit in front of the TV anymore. And we've stayed in front of the TV. But the programs have changed. Amen? You people in here tonight that are of age and mature and smart, or smarter than the preacher, you know that the programs have changed. In fact, in my time, they have changed drastically. And I'm only 31. We have a problem. The world in which we live is full of untoward ideologies. Perverse. All right, let me read something else. In the year 2001, I know that's old news, but it's probably worse now. Several studies released this year suggest teen drinking may cause more neurological damage, than was previously thought. Contrary to the notion that the brain is fully developed by age 16 or 17, the new studies have found that significant development happens until the age of 21. And heavy drinking by teenagers may inhibit that development. The recent research suggests that teens who binge drink may do damage to their memory and learning abilities by severely hampering the development of the hippocampus. Hippo or hypo? I don't know. A survey by the Harvard School of Public Health has found that 44% of college students are binge drinkers and 74% say they were in high school. Alcohol-dependent teens showed impaired memory, altered perceptions of spatial relationships, and verbal skill deficits. You say, Pastor Turner, where's this in the Bible? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22 that I am to abstain from all appearance of evil. That is in the Bible. Amen. I'm to abstain from it. Hey, hang on. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 22. The Bible says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. You see, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If something that I put into my body, whether it be alcohol, candy bars, come on now. Too many candy bars is not good, folks. Hey, I'm going to preach against alcohol, and I'm going to preach against smoking and drugs and all the rest of it. But if I'm doing my justice to the Word of God, I'm also going to talk about too many candy bars. Because my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in me, which we have of God, and I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit that are not mine, ladies and gentlemen. They're God's. You see, the world has adapted us. Even Burger King is guilty. What does Burger King say? What's their motto? Have it your way. I'm picking on Burger King. I like a Whopper occasionally. But you know what? That is the philosophy that we have adapted to our life, and the world has tried to wiggle in even to the church scene is, you just have it your way. And you know what? What happens is some churches will bow to that philosophy but for the sake of a crowd. But I'll tell you, I'm not going to bow for the sake of a crowd, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have it God's way. Let's have it God's way. Let's have it God's way. Let's take Peter's advice and let's go as far as we can from this untoward generation. Peter said in Acts 2, I submit that we need to save ourselves. We need to rise up and make a difference. We need to rise up and live holy lives. We need to rise up and flee from the world. Now, how do we do this? Or what's the plan then, Pastor? Okay, glad you asked. 2 Chronicles. This is where we'll stay the rest of the night. 2 Chronicles. Familiar passage to you, maybe. I've talked about it before. Let's look at it now. And let me just say this very, very plainly tonight. I am not on a rampage to make any of you mad at me, but I'm on a rampage tonight to stay away from an untoward generation. I think we need to raise our standard as high as we can. Let's not keep it at a certain level and say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. No, let's put our standard up with God's Word. And if yours is higher than mine, great. But measure it up with the Word of God, the Bible. And how do you avoid, this is the rocket science now. How do you avoid driving a car drunk? Don't drink one time. If you don't drink once, then there's no way you can drive a car drunk. Amen? I know you can have one and not be drunk. I've read the studies. But if I don't drink any, there's no way, unless there's some osmosis thing out there, there is no way I'm going to get behind the wheel drunk if I don't have one. I just as soon stay as far away. Hey, this goes for everything, ladies and gentlemen. You got to watch what you put into your body. Because it's God. Why do we need to do that, Pastor Turner? What's the big deal? Why? Because I want as many years as I can to serve God. A lady this week I did a funeral for. She's in heaven. She's watching us right now. I got secondhand information from her. She was a smoker. 3 to 4 packs a day. She stopped when they diagnosed her with emphysema. And she said, quote, I know that smoking contributed to my death, end quote. Now, I loved Myrna Cruikshank very dearly. She was always there at the nursing home, and I did her funeral. But I'll tell you, and I'm not picking on her, I'm just saying there's an example of somebody that now is in glory that said, I know this contributed to it. That can be said of many things. This contributed. Hey, why do we want to stay away from this perverse generation? Why? Because I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, but I want to do something great for God. And I don't want to put anything into me physically that's going to... Now, God may take me next week. That's going to be His choice. I don't want to speed the process up. I want to stick around as long as I can to serve God as long as I can. I know there's testimonies of people smoked their whole life and died at 90. My grandmother was one of those. Few and far between. In fact, don't try to be the next one. Okay? 2 Chronicles 7:14, look at here. If my people, talking to Solomon, let's go up to verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Boy, just like old Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody's getting woken up in the middle of the night. Woken up. Is that a good word? That's good. All right, good. I can go. All right. He said, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. Then here's this verse. If my people, Israel, which are called by my name, believers. Amen. This is God speaking. So they're called by his name. Children of God. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now that was talking about the rain coming. Because he said up there in verse number 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain. He was saying I will heal their land, the ground, if you will. But I believe we can take this principle that God gave to Solomon in the middle of the night. And I believe we can, the Lord gives us a way as well to seek help in this land that we live in. The first thing that God said to Solomon was, you're going to have to get the people to, number one, humble themselves. Humble themselves. In other words, the people are going to have to admit that they're doing wrong. Well, there's a tough one. We're going to have to admit that we're doing wrong. We're going to have to admit that not everything that we do, not everything the preacher does, not everything the people in the church do, not everything that we say, some of it is wrong, and we must humble ourselves before God Almighty. I'm talking about every one of us here tonight. Husbands to your wife, wife to your husband, child to your dad and mom to your children sometime. You're going to have to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I think that's the greatest thing that a parent can do if they've wronged their child is to apologize to them. I've done it before. I'll have to do it again, I'm sure. Because I know that I make mistakes. And to humble myself and to say, that's what God is saying here. He's saying, look, Solomon, the people are going to have to get humble. They're too full of themselves. They've got to humble themselves. Admit that we need to improve in whatever area God speaks to us about. It's not my job to tell you where you're wrong. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you that. But are you willing to humble yourself? If God says, I need to change this. If God says and gives you a way to go, then what you need to do, what I need to do, is I need to be humble about it and say, you're right, God. I've got to change this area. I've got to change this area. Look what he said, number two. He said to Solomon, not only do the people have to humble themselves, but then he said, number two, they have to pray. They have to pray. Hold your finger in 2 Chronicles 7 and turn way back in the back to Hebrews real quickly tonight. They've got to pray. I'm going to get there and go ahead and begin reading. But you may turn there if you'd like. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. God said to Solomon, the people have got to pray. I wrote this statement down. Prayer should be the first resort, not the last. I don't know if I heard that somewhere or not. I probably did. But if I didn't, then what? It doesn't matter. But that's a great statement to think about. Prayer should be the first resort, not the last resort. Like I said this morning, that's what it is so many times in our life. It's the last thing that we come to. I guess I better pray about it. And if there's no way I can figure it out, I guess I better pray about it. That's got to be the first thing that we've got to do. In this generation we live, how are we going to rear our children? How are we going to be the best dad we can be? How are we going to be the best mom, the best employer, the best employee? How are we going to do it all? We've got to pray. Hey, let me just say this tonight. We need to pray for our prime minister of our country. We may not agree with him, but have you prayed for him? If you have not prayed for him, then you have no business saying how much you disagree with him. I'm talking to me too. He had a rough trip, didn't he? Good. Good for him. But you know what? I can't stand up here tonight and preach about our prime minister if I haven't prayed to God for him. Because I should be praying for the elected officials that God's put him in place. Amen. Hey, have you prayed for our premier of British Columbia? Oh man, he doesn't have a clue. Have you prayed for him? Chances are, I don't know these men personally, but chances are, based on their platform, I think that's the right word I'm looking for, I doubt they're saved people. That's just going based on their platform. I don't see how a Christian could be for what they're for. So have I prayed for them? Have you prayed for them? Look, if we're going to affect this area for Christ, if we're going to save ourselves from this untoward generation, we have got to do it not only humbling ourselves, but we've got to do it on our knees. Have we prayed for the governor of, or the mayor? Oh my goodness, sorry about that. The mayor of Vancouver. Biting my tongue tonight. The mayor of Burnaby, who I've never even met. The mayor of Coquitlam, or wherever it is you live. You know, we spout off so easily, and I'm guilty. I promise you there, I'm guilty. I spout off so easy, but how often have I taken their name to God and said, God, would you please guide Mr. Martin? Would you please guide him? Would you save him? Would you send a track by his way? Would you help somebody to witness to him? Have I ever prayed that? Hey, he needs Jesus Christ just as much as I need Jesus Christ. He's got a pretty heavy weight on his shoulder, doesn't he? He's only running a country, folks. You know, I got a family of five I'm running. And I'm having a rough time at that. I can't imagine running the whole country. I feel like, wow, three kids. Oh my goodness, how am I? Hey, I don't have the whole country on my shoulders. Have you prayed for these people? Humble ourselves. Pray. Have you prayed for the people faithfully that you're sitting by right now? That are in the row behind you, that are sitting beside you, that are in front of you. The requests just keep coming in. The burdens just keep rolling. You need to pray for Vera Smith. She was here this morning. Would you write her name down? Would you pray for her? She's just got some things that are just really a burden on her right now. You know? And it's and we mention it, but now we've got to do something about it. If my people shall humble themselves, pray for those that are lost. Pray for those in your building that might give you a hard time. Pray for them. Pray. Number three. Back to 2 Chronicles. He said, not only humble ourselves, pray, and then he said, seek my face. And I've entitled that, seek for God continually. Seek for God continually. Let me turn, for time's sake, to Hosea chapter 10. And if you'd like to turn there, you may. Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12. Let me read this verse to you. The Bible says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, my dad and mom, they brought me up that they didn't buy too many things luxurious for me at all. If I got anything real expensive, I had to pay for it with my own hard-earned money. And I'm glad they did that. I think that's a very good principle. I probably am not doing well at that. I hand too many things out to my kids sometimes. And we're all guilty of that, parents. And I tell you, we've got to instill in our children a work ethic. But anyway, they used to make me work for the things that I wanted that were nice. And they would say this statement. I would look at something maybe and say, boy, that I really like that. And then they would say something like, well, how bad do you like it? How important is it to you? That's what Hosea said here. He said, we need to seek God continually, that His righteousness will come down on us. You know, we say, boy, I wish God would really do this in my life. But we don't seek God for it. He's got it all. He's got the whole world in His hands. You've got to seek God continually. Any decision, big or small, seek God. How do we seek God? Well, you're there tonight. You're in a good place tonight. It's not the church that saves you, but you can come here and you can hear from God at church. Through the Word of God. Through the music, through the songs. Somebody might say something and shake your hand and might give you an encouraging word, and you didn't realize it, but when you came tonight, you weren't seeking for that, but you got it anyway, because God gave it to you. We seek God through our own devotional life, through our own Bible reading, through our own prayer life. Seek God. Then, lastly, Solomon with the sleep in his eyes still, rubbing his eyes, you know, he'd been asleep. God said, I want you to tell the people they not only need to humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then he said, this is going to be a toughie. He said, they need to not only do those, but they need to turn from their wicked ways. They need to stop living the way they've been living and live the way they should. Let me read to you Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I like 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know what I think about this verse? The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know what? There may be a point in your life when you get so far away from God that you can't find him ever again. It's not because he's not there for you. It's because you've walked so far away from him that you'll never be able to find him ever again. Isaiah here says, seek God while he can be found. Stay on that right track. Call ye upon him while he is near. I hope tonight that we'll take Peter's admonition to us and the words that God gave to Solomon, and we'll do everything we can to keep our homes, to keep our life away from a perverse way of doing things, a perverse way of living. Hey, I've got to go out there and tell people about Christ. I'm not going to be going into my home and just living there and not being around people, you know, and just saying, oh, I can't be around the world anymore, you know. I got to go barricade myself in my house because the world's pretty bad. No, that's not what we can't do that. We've got to go and tell them. But while I'm going, while we're going and telling them, we need to do everything we can to keep our lives in tune with what God would want us to do by humbling ourselves. Sometimes, you know, we all need to be humbled. You've been there and I've been there. And we get all red-faced and when it happens, but take a step back and see, well, you know, I needed that. Sometimes we all need to admit that we need to pray more. Everybody here. You need to pray for Joshua, too, down there at Children's Hospital. Rodo's cousin by marriage. Little boy, just 14 months old. Pulled that kettle down on his face, on his back. I went and saw him on Thursday. That's tough. It's tough on mom and dad. But have we prayed for them? You know that I don't know about their salvation or not. I mean, I'm thinking about Joshua. Don't get me wrong. I'm praying for him. But as a servant of God and as a Christian, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, literally, 1A and 1, is how about the parents at this age? Could this be a way in? Could this be a way of life? Who knows? We need to pray. Not only that, but we need to seek God continually. Do you have a great need in your life tonight? Let me ask this question, and this doesn't reveal anything, of course. But how many of you would say tonight, Pastor Turner, there's a big need right now? Not finances, not necessarily, maybe it is. A big prayer request right now. Something that you're asking God about right now. Raise your hand. Yeah. I'd say over half the crowd has their hand up. You know what we got to do? We've got to do what and how we get the answer. We've got to seek God. We can seek one another, but we can only help so much because we are but flesh. But all is one great, far greater, the King of kings and Lord of lords that we could see. And then we need to turn from our ways. I hope and pray tonight that we will take a look and see, is there any of this untoward generation creeping in to our homes? And you know what we need to do? We need to get out the biggest boot we own, spiritual boot, and we need to drop kick that right out of our home and say, I don't need that in my home. I don't need that in my life. I want to bring honor and glory to the Lord of lords and King of kings. So let's take what Peter said, to these people and said, Beware. Watch out. Keep it out of your life, that we might be a clean vessel, able to be used by God in a mighty way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the journey of life that you've brought us all on. Lord, we all have areas that we fall short, and we admit that. May we be humble enough to say, this area I need to work on. This area, Lord, I need your help. Lord, may we be willing to pray and seek your face. We all have unsaved family members. We all have burdens. But Lord, are we dependent on our own strength to get through? We can't do that. We've got to trust in you. May we turn from our wicked ways. What is there tonight that needs to be eliminated? Oh, we say it's just this little area. No, it's not just a little area. In God's eyes, it's a big area. Let's just take it out. Live for Him. Live a pure life to the glory of God. In just a moment, the music's going to play. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.